The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hi there, welcome to Grace in Focus. What is the nature or purpose of the book of Hebrews, and what are the issues or the issue the author of Hebrews is targeting? Why does Hebrews have warning passages? Welcome, friend. Once again, we're glad you're with us for this ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. 5 days a week, we come to you on Grace in Focus. Learn more about the Grace Evangelical Society at faithalone.org. There you can find a free subscription to our magazine, also called Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times per year, is full color with excellent articles, and it is a full-length magazine. As mentioned, it is free, all except for postage if you live outside of the 48 contiguous United States. Find it, get subscribed today at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Sam Marr.
All right, hello. We have a question from Michael about loss of salvation. So his question is, if someone were to turn away from Christ, would he separate himself from salvation? And he's asking specifically about a few verses in Hebrews, Hebrews 4:14, 6:11, 12:25.
Okay. First of all, let me suggest that people check out the commentary by Zane Hodges on Hebrews, which is in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, or the commentary by J. Paul Tanner in the Grace New Testament Commentary, our commentary, the Grace New Testament, or Ken Yates has a commentary on Hebrews that GES publishes as well. And in all three of those commentaries, they point out that the issue in the book of Hebrews is that he's writing to believers, born-again people, who are, as Michael talks about, in danger of turning away. They're Jewish believers who are thinking about going back to animal sacrifices for the forgiveness of their sins and for their salvation from eternal condemnation. Even though they've already believed in Christ and Him alone for their salvation, they're thinking about turning back and turning away. And so the issue is not them losing eternal life. The issue is them losing the opportunity to be Christ's companions or partners in the life to come. Look at Hebrews 1:9. Could you read that verse for us, Sam?
You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions.
Okay, and that word for companions is the word metakoi. The same word is used in Luke 5, where it talks about James and John, the two sons of Zebedee. They had a fishing business, and they were mending their nets with their metakoi, with their partners. They had partners in their fishing business. Evidently, they were pretty well-to-do, so it wasn't just one boat, but they had multiple boats and multiple fishermen that they hired, and they were the companions. And in Hebrews 1:14, it compares or calls this being Christ's partner's salvation. Could you read 1:14?
Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?
Yeah, that's talking about angels or ministering spirits. A lot of people interpret this to say, oh, this is every believer has an angel. No, I think this verse is saying every believer who is currently victorious in his or her experience, who is currently walking with Christ, has an angel that God uses to aid them in their victorious Christian living. It's not saying that the believer who, like the prodigal son, has gone off into the far country has some angel that's helping him while he's in rebellion against God. He doesn't. It's the faithful believer. This idea of being Christ's partner goes all the way through the book. And in chapter 4 starts out with a promise of entering into his rest. And his rest there refers to ruling and reigning with Christ in the millennium, well, and on the new earth for that matter. There are 5 warning passages in the book of Hebrews. And Michael's concerned about several of them when he asks about this passage. He asks about chapter 6, 6:11. Then he also asked about chapter 12, which are 3 of the 5 warning passages. And in each of the warning passages, the issue is not warning believers of eternal condemnation. It's warning believers that they will fail to inherit the kingdom. They will fail to inherit the right to rule and reign with Christ. This is a theme that runs through the whole New Testament. And Michael, this is something that's vitally important, that we get the distinction between a believer who has eternal life as compared to someone who is a believer walking in fellowship with God, who is in line to rule and reign with Christ. For example, Sam, I know you're familiar with Romans 8:17. Maybe you could turn there and read Romans 8:17 and talk about the two types of inheritance that are evident in Paul's discussion. Romans 8:17, A and B.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him.
Yeah, now the translation you have there is a little bit different than the New King James. The New King James makes more of a distinction between heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Christ, that we may also be glorified together. But even in the translation you're reading there, it's clear there's two types of inheritance. All children of God are heirs of God, but only those who suffer with Christ are joint heirs with Christ. So every believer has what I call a passive inheritance. They're part of the family of God. They're going to be in the kingdom of God forever, etc. But only the faithful believers who are walking in fellowship with God and willingly suffering for Christ will be joint heirs with Christ, who are glorified together with him. And that's the issue in Hebrews 4, 6, 12. It's being Christ's co-heirs, or it's called metakoi or partners in the book of Hebrews.
We will rejoin in just a moment, but years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
Let's look also at Hebrews 6:11. So why don't you read that one, and then we'll also talk about 4 through 8.
And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end. And then 12, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Yeah, and this idea of this full assurance of hope, or however you translate that, until the end, is not talking about assurance of everlasting life. This is assurance of ruling and reigning with Christ, of being his co-heirs, but we must continue to hold that to the end in order to be a co-heir. Paul said, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12. John said, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink back in shame at his coming. 1 John 2:28. The same idea is here as well. The point is, if we shrink back from Christ and stop following Christ, then we're going to miss out on ruling and reigning. And look earlier in the warning passage in verses 4 through 8. He says, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. And by the way, there's five participles used here. I. Howard Marshall said it's hard to imagine five stronger descriptors of a born-again person. Notice he says they're once and for all enlightened. That's not true of an unbeliever. They've tasted the heavenly gift. And by the way, this word tasted occurs only here and in 2:11, where it says Jesus tasted death for all men. Some people say, well, these people only nibbled at the heavenly gift. No, Jesus didn't nibble at death, and these people fully partook of it. And they have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. They have received the Holy Spirit. And they have tasted the good word of God. And they have tasted the powers of the age to come. Well, I think Marshall's right. Those are five descriptors of a born-again person. And then he says, if they fall away, it becomes impossible to renew them again to repentance. Well, some people say repentance is a condition of eternal life. If you can't renew them to repentance, then they are losing their salvation. Well, first of all, you can't lose everlasting life because it's
everlasting,
right? And secondly, the condition of everlasting life is faith in Christ. It's not turning from our sins. It's not repentance. So that's a misunderstanding. And then he says, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. And this is the idea that if these Jewish believers were to go back to animal sacrifices, well, then essentially they would be saying that the blood of Christ was not sufficient, that we need to now supplement the blood of Christ with the blood of bulls and goats, and read Hebrews 10, 1 and following, where it talks about that. But notice the illustration in verses 7 and 8. For the earth which drinks the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. So notice, verse 7 is about blessing. Guess what verse 8 is about?
The opposite of blessing.
Which is cursing.
Cursing.
Which are both mentioned here. But if it bears thorns and briars, is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Well, the burning is the cursing or the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a field and it's got weeds and worthless overgrowth, you burn that off. But guess what remains? The field remains.
Mm-hmm.
What's burned up is the worthless overgrowth. He is saying it's humanly impossible to bring back a person who becomes an apostate. When they get to the point where they actually completely turn their back on Christ, this person has now said Jesus isn't the Savior. If they ever get to that point, only God can turn that person back. But I think what verses 7 and 8 is saying is God's going to bring major judgment in that person's life, and it is hypothetically possible that they would turn back before death. But either way, God is purging the church so that what's left is believers who are faithful or believers who are not apostates from the church if they do not repent. If we went to Hebrews 12, same thing there. Read the Gospel of John. The book of Hebrews is not evangelistic. He also mentions 1 John. That's not evangelistic. The Gospel of John is evangelistic. John 20:31 says he's writing to unbelievers that they might believe and have life in Jesus' name. And so I would encourage you, Michael, and any of you there that lack assurance or think you can lose your salvation, read the Gospel of John and prayerfully ask God, is it really as simple as believing in Jesus for everlasting life? And is it really true that once I do that, I have everlasting life that can never be lost? Well, thanks so much, Michael. We appreciate your question. And in the meantime, keep grace
in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, can we believe in Jesus without believing his promise of everlasting life? Please join us again, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.